It's Yanks and Krauts. As always, there is a lot going on and it's rapidly changing. Here's what's on our minds today.
Iran launched a drone and missile attack on Israel on Saturday with over 300 drones and missiles sent toward or into Israeli territory.
We recall the terrible Hamas attack on Israel on October 7, in which 1,139 Israelis were killed and hundreds were kidnapped. Many, if not most of the kidnapped, are now dead.
2 weeks ago, as a part of its retaliation on Hamas and Iranian proxies in an airstrike on Syria, Israeli forces killed two important Iranian generals and several of their aides. These generals were instrumental in leading Iranian overseas operations and terrorist attacks, as well as coordinating with Iranian proxies like the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah, who have been attacking Israeli sites and harassing international shipping in the Red Sea.
Israeli officials said the Iranian attack was a failure. In addition to Israeli defenses, United States, British, and Jordanian fighter planes tracked and shot down Iranian drones, and two U.S. Navy destroyers in the Mediterranean and a Patriot missile defense system in Syria also shot down Iranian missiles. Tenuous Speaker of the House Mike Johnson says he will try to pass an Israeli aid package. Remember, the Republicans failed to pass a combined Israeli and Ukrainian package for aid for Ukraine and a border immigration bill just weeks ago that would have sent aid to Israel as well as fund the largest U.S. border crackdown ever. I'm beginning to think actually on that aid package, there was a push to break the three pieces of the legislation up. I think some Republicans don't want to be caught voting, I hate to say it, but to help the Jews. And I think some Republicans want to make sure they have a chance to help the Russians. So I don't know what's up with them. But anyway, so it looks like those are going to get proposed as individual bills. And as of this recording, tenuous House Speaker Johnson might today or soon become former House Speaker Johnson. Since Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to motion to vacate the chair if Johnson attempts to provide aid to Ukraine, which he promises to do on Saturday.
Also, we're waiting for Israel to respond to the Iranian attack. We don't know what will be, but there's a lot at play here. Will Israel use this as an excuse to slap Iran down? Or will Israel try to prevent their current war with Hamas from escalating into a regional conflict?
Iran has been stirring up trouble in the region for a long time now. Get ready for this. You'll need a program. About a week ago, in the Strait of Hormuz, Iranian commandos rappelled from a Soviet-era helicopter sold to the Iranians by Russia to capture a cargo ship, registered in Portugal and crewed by Indians. The ship was working for a British shipping company. This event barely made the news, but is now also in the mix. In the Persian Gulf, Iran has been harassing shipping for decades. And in the Red Sea and on the other side of Saudi Arabia, Iranian proxies out of Yemen have been firing missiles at ships and at Israel. When the Iranians were asked why they seized the ship in the Strait of Hormuz, they said it was because the ship was Israeli affiliated. I don't know how Israel is going to respond to the drone and missile attack, but maybe they could sink some Iranian military ships in the Persian Gulf.
Or will Israel reach into Iran and destroy its nuclear development program? It is believed the Iranians are only weeks or months away from manufacturing nuclear weapons. I was listening to German radio today, and they said, an expert said, that Iran already has everything and even more to build the weapon. You might remember that Israel has experience taking out Arab nuclear reactors, as they did when they blew a massive nuclear reactor off its foundation in Iraq in 1981.
I was in the military then, and I was fascinated by that mission. Knowing that the reactor would be turned on in weeks and capable of making weapons-grade fuel, 15 Israeli planes flew low and undetected over other countries. I think one was Syria. And each one fired a direct hit on the nuclear reactor. And as you said, literally pushing that massive concrete structure off its foundation. The planes returned home to Israel with no casualties. It is one of the great aerial missions of history. Also, when I saw this, I couldn't remember if I'd heard it in the news at the time, but I was doing a little research and discovered that Israel destroyed a Syrian nuclear power plant in 2007.
Wow.
2007, and they didn't even admit it until 2018. So they certainly are capable of using an opportunity like this to take out a nuclear plant. Anyway, now we're waiting to see what will happen next in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in the U.S. regarding the election and abortion and on our own border. With all these serious life or death events happening, it is a shame that people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Matt Gaetz, and a dozen or so other members of the so-called Freedom Caucus in Congress, who, by the way, are in the minority, they're trying to hijack the United States government to ultimately do nothing, to take no stand against oppression, illogic, misinformation, and dictators like Vladimir Putin. People who might actually like to see the United States move away from democracy and more toward authoritarianism, and they're holding everything up. Anyway, Marcus, what else is going on?
I mean, there's interesting news from Germany, my old home country. The German government has summoned the Russian ambassador to the foreign ministry in Berlin. Two German Russians are accused of spying for the Kremlin and plotting attacks with the intention of weakening German support for Ukraine. The Federal Public Prosecutor General at the Federal Court of Justice has announced that the men are suspected, and I'm quoting, suspected of having worked for a foreign secret service in a very serious case. According to reports from the news agency DPA and the magazine Der Spiegel, they are believed to have scouted out the U.S. base at Grafenwöhr, which is situated approximately 15 miles southeast of Bayreuth in the southern state of Bavaria.
The base in Grafenwöhr is the largest U.S. Training facility outside of the U.S., if I remember correctly.
That's correct, yeah.
On that base, U.S. and German soldiers are training Ukrainian soldiers and, among other things, the use of Abrams battle tanks.
Yeah, and the Ukrainian soldiers undergo a training for several weeks there, almost around the clock, and then go back directly to the front. They stay isolated in their own camp on that training military area. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army is carrying out multinational NATO exercises in Grafenwöhr as well.
And as you said, so the case generally is what we're learning from Germany, your old home country, is that the Russians are everywhere, it seems, engaged in spying on. I mean, I get it. They want to win the war in Ukraine, but it's a war they started. It's a war we should be against, and they will use any means possible.
And they also try to find out where the ammunition comes from in Central Europe, where it's transported over the border. And when I was last time in Germany last year, I could see many of these military transports. And then what I was told, they were loaded on commercial trucks so that they can't be identified when they go over to Ukraine. But of course, the Russians are planning to attack these military transports and to sabotage them. And that's really dangerous.
Speaking of Russia, let's bring this back to Trump. How is Pravda Social doing?
Oh, I think they're doing pretty bad. It's a constant, it's a roller coaster, right? So they went pretty much lost a lot of money at the stock market.
Now,
in the
Marcus,
past
when
few
I say
weeks.
Pravda Social, you're supposed to say.
I mean, I internalized your
Truth Social.
It's Truth Social.
Yeah, it's Pravda Social. All right. So how's Truth Social doing?
Bad, bad.
So they started at like 70-something, went up to 80 for a day. And then last week they were down in around 30 and then 20-something. And then they had a small recovery the last 2 days. What are they doing today?
I haven't looked it up. I think around $17 or...
But bottom line is their stock are about worth about a third of what it was when it started.
I mean, that was like foreseeable.
So if you bought $100 worth of Pravda when it opened, you now have about $30 worth of Pravda. Exactly. Or less. Yeah. Yes.
So, but Austin, in New York, the Trump case, known as the porn star Stormy Daniel hush money case, will likely complete jury selection this week. Quicker than anticipated, former President Trump was unsuccessful in trying to delay it.
Yeah, we hope this week. Actually, it looked like it would be this week, but I guess today they let a couple of jurors go. One had lied about some crimes he'd committed in the past. And then I think we're running into some Jewish holidays. So anyway, hopefully soon. It looked like it was off to a good start. Quicker than they thought. They thought jury selection might take months. It looks like now, maybe next week, we'll see the end of it. The case should really be called the Trump Falsified Business Documents to Pay Porn Star and Influence an Election Case. Because it is not technically illegal to pay hush money, but it is illegal to falsify business documents. And when done to influence an election, it is a felony.
Trump, like a good liberal, availed himself of every delay tactic, every effort to change venue, every effort to delay by demanding a different judge, every trick in the book. But the judge is saying, let the trial begin.
And the judge scolded Trump yesterday in court for making audible noises during jury selection. So tell me more. What else is going on?
So to delay this case, Trump has been bemoaning his legal woes every chance he gets. And then he tried to say that there is too much publicity for him to get a fair trial. He insulted and antagonized the judge and tried to say there needed to be a delay so the judge could recuse himself and a replacement judge could be found. Trump even exposed or doxed the judge's daughter to harassment from MAGA folks, hoping the judge would retaliate or to be intimidated. And if the judge had reacted, Austin, that would have bolstered Trump's request to have the judge recuse himself. Trump tried to anger the judge. Then he said he needed a new judge since the judge was probably mad at him. I heard he fell asleep on the first day of his trial. Is that true?
The court reporter painted a great picture of it, and I think that should become the Trump portrait at the White House. Trump asleep in court. Yes.
Was he snoring?
You know, no one said, and there's no sound recording in the courtroom.
Of course.
The reporters did not report snoring, but they did report that he definitely had nodded out. Yes, he fell asleep while the judge was reading what they call the Parker warnings. That is, you know, it's kind of like the Miranda rights that get read when you're arrested. There's a series of warnings that they give you in court. And by the way, all of these things brought to the legal system by liberals who said we need to go out of the way to make sure an accused person is given a very fair trial. So he fell asleep while being read the Parker warnings. The judge was telling Trump to not disrupt the trial, telling him how to behave in court, not to jump bail, etc. Kind of funny, though. He was saying don't disrupt the trial. He was actually asleep in that moment. Otherwise, he probably would have been disrupting the trial. And now Trump's going to say he didn't know he wasn't supposed to disrupt a court because he never heard the Parker warnings. Anyway, it's unbelievable. The judge told Trump that if he misbehaved, he would be removed from court and they would try him in absentia. He doesn't need to be there to be tried. He also got the Sandoval warning, telling him that his past crimes could become part of the case if he wishes to testify. So basically how that works is if he says he wants to testify, the prosecution has a right to impeach his testimony by saying he's a fundamentally dishonest person. And there is now already a legal record of Trump lying and being found guilty or liable or responsible for lying in court. You know, you go back to like the, apparently he's been sued thousands of times. But a couple of examples that come to mind is the
university,
the Trump University. He was found to be dishonest. And the judge found him liable for the assault on, I can't remember her name now.
The journalist.
The journalist at the store. So, and then he was found.
Falsified documents
for the bank loans and and the insurance papers and the tax papers.
So does it mean he won't testify in the whole process and the whole trial?
He has always said he would testify when he's out in public because he's,
right? We know that, but
he's not afraid to defend himself.
Legally, we won't see Donald Trump testifying in the trial?
I think if we see him, it's going to be 2 days of documents where he's been proven to be a liar and he'll be completely impeached. He's a completely unreliable witness. So I think at the end of the day, he won't be stupid enough to actually try to testify.
And Austin, he constantly whines about how unfair he is being treated. That's really weird.
Oh, God, yeah. It's terrible. Having you heard, no president, not even Lincoln, was treated as badly as Trump. And recently he said he was treated unfairly, much like Jesus Christ and Nelson Mandela.
Okay, for protesting apartheid and Africans not being allowed to vote, Nelson Mandela was sent to break rocks with a hammer on Robben Island for 18 years. And in addition to another 9 years, he spent behind bars for a total of 27 years. Austin, you are an American and you are a teacher. What do you think about comparing Trump to Lincoln?
I'll touch that in a second, but Mandela actually lost much of his eyesight because he was on Robben Island breaking rocks out in the sun with no eye protection. The guy's unbelievable. Trump to Lincoln. So yes, I used to love to compare, documents for their rhetorical structure and effectiveness. Funny you ask, candidate Trump spoke in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania this week at a rally. Gettysburg is probably best known for a famous Civil War battle.
Of course,
and,
yes.
Right, and it's where President Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address in 1863. Probably his best known speech. Trump's speech in the town of Gettysburg begs for the comparison between Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and Trump's Gettysburg Address. Remember, Lincoln's famous speech begins with the sentence, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Let's hear former President Trump's speech. Here he is speaking in Pennsylvania.
And where our union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
That is truly inspiring.
I am speechless.
Shall we move on?
Marcus, before we move on, do you know what Jesus, Mandela, and Lincoln never did?
What is that, Austin?
Ask a porn star to spank them with a magazine.
Stormy Daniels claimed that Trump let her spank him with a Forbes magazine.
You sounded excited about that, Marcus.
I'm not excited at all. I was just looking at Trump, who I heard like 3 or 4 years ago that he was wearing diapers.
Oh, God.
So I was just, I just had that weird picture in my mind, Trump behind Stormy Daniels.
No, in front.
Or behind, on her.
Oh, I don't know who was.
Probably tried to spank her on her bottom.
I'm going to need to vomit now.
I'm so sorry. This is like, ugh. Okay.
Anyway,
go
but
on.
Just, it was the famous Trump rump thump.
I shouldn't encourage you, Austin.
All right. You're right. Next item. Don't forget, in the news last week.
Oh, yeah. Arizona revived a very old abortion law, one originally conceived and written just months after Lincoln gave his Gettysburg Address.
Yes, 1864. A judge in Arizona said the state could enforce this civil error law banning all abortion in Arizona, except in cases where the mother's life is imminently at risk.
And the law also punishes anyone who helps a woman get an abortion and the woman with 5 to 7 years in prison.
This law was passed before women had the right to vote. Women could not own property in many places. There were people alive in Arizona who actually witnessed the shooting at the OK Corral and saw Geronimo surrender. That's how old this law is.
States are passing laws like this or digging up ancient ones to enforce because Trump's Supreme Court Justice picks ended Roe v. versus Wade, throwing abortion laws back to the states. What else is going on?
Hey, Marcus, do you remember my favorite Neil Diamond song?
Do you really want me to sing with you now? Like,
no, I think just, it was. Just, do you remember the song?
They're Coming to America, right?
Yes. No, it's actually just called America, and you don't want to sing it.
So of course not, Austin. I'm not like such, and you know what? Such a good singer like you.
I was told by one of our 12 listeners that I shouldn't sing on the radio. So
that really, is true, and I support that.
That was crushing. It's the one, it's got the line on the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America.
Today.
Yes, exactly.
I remember this.
Tenuous Speaker of the House, that's his new title. And tomorrow it might be former Speaker of the House. Michael Johnson visited former President Trump at Mar-a-Lago to discuss the election.
And they decided their best strategy was to focus on immigration and crime committed by immigrants. And because they know immigrants voting also frightens Americans, they made a joint presentation in which they proposed new laws making it illegal for non-citizens to vote in the United States. That sounded weird. Illegal to vote in the United States if you're not a citizen?
Yeah,
that's a contradiction.
It's already the law. It's already illegal to vote if you're not a citizen.
Everybody knows that.
I mean, you can't vote on your green card, can you?
No, of course not, but I can vote in some school districts.
Correct.
Yeah. In San Francisco, for example.
Yeah.
Because they want parents to be involved.
They want parents to participate. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But
and, you know, by the way,
that,
and that's what Fox looks at. They go, oh my God, illegals are voting. Yeah, for like the school board.
Of course.
Measure or whatever.
We pay taxes here as well.
Yeah. So anyway, it is illegal to vote in this country if you're not a citizen. And so they're passing a law that's completely redundant. You know, as they say, they liked the law they had so much, they decided to do it again. Like, you know, New York, New York, a place so nice, they named it twice. That's a song too, by the way.
Yeah, that's a song by Frank Sinatra, right?
Yes, you got it. Thank you.
And it's a mostly redundant law, to be fair. They want all states to prove a person is a citizen before they register vote.
And, you know, I think that happens in most states already. It sounds like a good idea until you try to get 50 states and 350 million Americans to agree on what ID counts for proving your citizenship. You know, I can't prove my citizenship on most days. I'll bet members of Congress, including tenuous Speaker of the House Johnson, can't prove it. I mean, how do you actually prove you're a citizen if you get stopped on the street and someone says, "Prove you're a citizen"? Anyway,
I would just show my ID card.
And I guess here, most of us would show a driver's license, since in most states, maybe all, it's connected to your birth certificate. That's how I got a license.
But even illegal immigrants can get a driver's license.
So, yeah, so there's this talk about, well, we need, you know, a voter card, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever seen a Trump rally?
No. Why?
Well, can you imagine the people you see at a Trump rally, you know, finding their birth certificates? I mean, I'm sorry, but I know how hard it is for me to find a birth certificate, and I have a very organized wife who actually would be the one who would find it. Here's the problem. Some Republicans have actually tried to make National Rifle Association membership cards with no photographs count as identification for voting, and in the same districts not allow voters to use ID cards from colleges, school ID cards.
And they have photographs, yeah.
Yeah, it's absurd. So, you know, this sounds like a simple common sense idea, but actually making it happen, it'll be interesting to see if it happens. In California, when my daughters got their driver's licenses and registered to vote, they had to have their birth certificates. and we use their passports as IDs. If a state is doing that, then those states, they're all set. And if they're not doing that, they can fix that. Anyway, the law already exists. It is illegal to vote in the United States in a state or federal election unless you are a citizen.
I mean, that's normal in almost every country in the world. In Germany, things are organized a little differently. If you move to a new place of residence in my old home country, regardless in which of the 16 states you live, you are required to register at the town hall, not the DMV. The DMV doesn't have anything to do with your ID card. Every German citizen possesses an ID card, and basically you always have to have your ID card with you in order to identify yourself. And using a driver's license in Germany as identification is very uncommon or not allowed. And once you have registered at your new place of residence, you will automatically be added to the electoral roll once your turn 18 years old. And for every election, a postcard will be sent to your home with your polling station information. And to vote, you will need to present your identity card or passport for identification at the polling station. You just can't use your driver's license, for example. But let's go back to the US. Also this week, Austin, Republicans are trying to change the electoral college system in the state of Nebraska.
How so?
Pushed by Trump and led in the state by a conservative activist, Charlie Kirk.
Ah, Charlie Kirk.
Yes, Charlie Kirk.
He's an interesting guy. All right, keep going.
Republicans want to make Nebraska a winner-take-all state.
Okay, so if my memory is correct, there are only two states where the Electoral College divides its votes up proportionally to how people actually voted. Those are Maine and Nebraska. In all the other states, if a candidate for president gets 50% plus one more vote, the state gives all of its electoral college votes to that candidate.
Yes, and in Nebraska, one district is likely to vote for President Biden in the next election.
It's a college town, of course.
That is one electoral vote that will go to Biden and not to Trump. And Republicans believe that the election will be so close, they will need that one electoral college vote.
That's how close they think it's going to be.
Absolutely.
The electoral college system might have made sense when people traveled by horse and most people never actually met or read about the candidates that they had their representative pick. But it is a fundamentally undemocratic system. The most pro-democracy system would be a direct one-person, one-vote system. Given the goofiness of the electoral college system, Maine and Nebraska are more pro-democracy than other states. There's also another glitch too in it, by the way, which is they get a number of electors equal to the number of representatives, plus they get a couple of others for some other reason, which makes it not even proportional in proportional states. But anyway, Nebraska, Maine, keep doing what you're doing. What were you going to say?
I was about to say that we talked about this already. Trump was able to win the election in 2016 while still losing the popular vote by winning a few thousand more votes in a couple of key states.
Trump won Michigan and got all of its electoral college votes. He beat Hillary there by less than 11,000 votes, which actually in a state of Michigan size is not very many.
And in Wisconsin, he beat her only by 30,000 votes, but got all of Wisconsin's electoral votes. You're not saying it, but many voters in these states voted for Jill Stein of the Green Party.
I actually could see myself being a Green Party member and supporting the Green Party. But Jill Stein, she's the one who had dinner with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Trump advisor and confessed criminal, the former General Michael Flynn. He pled guilty to being in contact with Russian agents.
Yes. Anyway, Trump won more states.
But lost the election.
Correct.
The popular vote was 64,874,000 for Hillary Clinton and only 62,516,000 for Trump. Nationally, in a pure democracy, Hillary would have won the presidency by 2.3 million votes. But in the Electoral College system, Trump got 306 Electoral College votes and Clinton got 232. That is why it became so important to Trump to claim that non-citizens were voting for Democrats. He felt a need to detract from the fact that he lost the popular election.
But that is old news. Why are we discussing this now?
It's editorial.
Oh, gotcha.
For this election coming up, and all elections, until the system changes, every vote does count for the top two candidates. Clinton lost at least two states because voters chose a third-party candidate instead of her, Jill Stein. The third-party candidate, Stein, lost as predicted. She didn't stand a chance. But Clinton lost as well because she needed those votes to win those medium and small states, even though she was winning overall. So, lesson one, pick one of the top two candidates in the national election. Picking the third party candidate just throws away a vote. People who voted for Jill Stein in 2016 were effectively voting for Donald Trump. This year's election will break down the same way. Vote for Trump or Biden. They are both old and few people's first choice. But you are really voting for an administration and a cabinet. If you vote for a third party, you are really just picking Trump and his people, or Biden and his anyway. But you lose the ability to decide which of the two you would prefer. It's a terrible system, but that's how it works for now. And remember, the way the Russians influenced the election in 2016 was by using social media to support third parties, increasing the votes not going to Clinton. For instance, they would approach people who had demonstrated an interest in third parties and bombard them with messages that said effectively, it's not a wasted vote. This is your chance to send a message. This is your chance to, you know, develop a third party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they got enough people to vote for Jill Stein. And this is how they will try to keep votes from going to Biden. They will use social media to push disinformation. They will use social media to stir up conflict and violence if they can. And they'll support key third-party candidates in close states.
And for later?
For later, one, make sure Nebraska and Maine keep proportional voting. Those states have more democracy than other states. Two, we should move toward the constitutional changes required to make our country a more perfect democracy, moving away from the Electoral College and changing the way congressional districts are divided, gerrymandering, and the way senatorial seats are divided as well. But that is for later, if we survive.
No small tasks, Austin, to be honest.
By the way, today, a dozen Kennedys joined with Joe Biden to urge people to vote for Joe and not for their own relative, Bobby Kennedy Jr. You know, it's unclear whether Bobby Kennedy would take votes from Biden or for Trump, but it's dangerous to mix what is a binary election between Trump and Biden, to mix that up with other choices. And to those people who don't want to vote for Biden because he's not supporting the Palestinians enough, do they think Trump will encourage Netanyahu to be more restrained? Will Trump do more for Palestine? The man who openly declares his hatred of most brown people and Muslims, I don't think so. And if they don't vote for Biden, they are voting for Trump. Quick side note, my earliest political memory is of the night Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in 1968. I woke to my mother screaming and crying. I remember the news live and in instant replay. I remember video of football player and actor Rosie Grier helping subdue Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin. It was terrible. There was so much hope that Bobby Kennedy could have been the president that would have made America a better, fairer, smarter place.
We are about to wrap up. Anything else, Austin?
Hey, I got an idea. Do you know how to get people to lose their voter ID cards to keep them from voting?
How?
Free beer.
What?
Free beer, yeah. Have a free beer night the night before the election and give free beer to anyone who can show their voter ID card. Half of the voter ID cards would be lost. The Republicans could host free beer. voter nights in college towns, and the Democrats could host free beer voter nights in any bar near a Walmart or a monster truck rally or maybe a yacht club. Hey, Marcus, how did you come to America? By boat or by plane?
I was swimming, Austin. I was swimming through the Atlantic Ocean. It was not easy, but I made it.
That's not in the Neil Diamond song.
Neil Diamond song?
Yeah, yeah. They come to America on the boats and on the planes.
Yeah, but I was swimming. It was
some of them
more
swam.
Natural. You know, I'm a member of the Green Party. I love to use my organic energy instead of using airplanes or ships and diesel.
Oh, well, my father went to World War I on a diesel steamship and brought an Italian wife back with him on a different diesel steamship. And my father's ancestors came here by ship as well, a sailing ship long, long ago.
And Austin, the name Diesel comes from Rudolf Diesel, one of the inventors. I just had to, slightly.
But was he from your hometown, Swabia?
Of course. He was from Stuttgart, Austin. So where the important English aristocrats on the so-called famous ship Mayflower.
My relatives, were they on the Mayflower? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
No, I think they were Scotch-Irish ditch diggers on a leaky scow.
Well, goodbye for this week. Remember, on the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America, and sometimes they do even swim.
And in the words of the great second-generation American Neil Diamond, they got a dream to bring them here. They got a dream they've come to share.
Ciao and auf Wiedersehen.